along, if you would, in your Bible as I read it aloud. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and the Bible says this, "And he said unto them all," and of course he in this verse is Jesus, "he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." I want us to focus on verse 23 and the thought that you're very familiar with. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we pray for your guidance. We pray for your direction in the message this morning. Lord, the thoughts that are a burden and heavy on my heart, that I might communicate them clearly to these your people here this morning. Father, we're the sheep of your pasture. And Lord, we need to be led by you. And so, Father, I pray we would take your words in this verse and understand them to their fullest. And Lord, may we have a desire to take up our cross as the Bible indicates it. Father, we pray most of all, should there be one in our midst today that's lost and without the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, today you would speak to their heart especially. Show them their need for salvation. Show them what you did on Calvary's cross so they might have forgiveness of sin and have eternal life. And help them, Father, today to come to you by faith for salvation. Bless your word to each and every heart, Father. Be with us as believers as we accept your challenge here today from this very verse. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 23, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me." Can I tell you something this morning that I hope you know? That as your preacher, I love you. And I have your best interest at heart. And I love preaching on things that get you happy and excited. I like preaching about heaven. I like to preach about salvation, about adoption, about glorification, about Revelation chapter 5 and the presentation of the Lamb and the praising of the Lamb. And I like to preach sermons and messages that uplift you and encourage you and embolden you in the faith. But every once in a while, I've given the responsibility of skinning your hide. There, I'm glad some of you chuckled and laughed. I need you to start at least right there with me. Because I want us to look this morning, this thought of taking up the cross and following has become so frivolous and become so empty and become so meaningless that I'm afraid that we in the day and the time that we live in have no concept of what it's really like to take up the cross of Christ. As we begin this morning, I want you just to pause right now. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross." What cross have you taken up? What cross are you carrying for the Lord Jesus Christ? It says, let him take up his cross daily. What are you doing daily that is bearing a cross for Jesus Christ? You're a believer, you're saved, you're redeemed, you've been washed in the blood of Christ. You're one of his disciples, you're one of his followers. He said, if any man follow me, let him take up. What cross are we carrying for the Lord Jesus Christ? What cross is this talking about? Now, this is not talking about carrying his cross. He doesn't need any help carrying his cross. His cross is over and done with. I appreciate the fact that you and I don't need a little cross with a Savior still hanging on it. Because he's not on the cross anymore. He was taken down, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and the cross has been empty for 2,000 years. His cross is over with. So when the Bible says for you to take up your cross, it's not connected necessarily with his cross. It's not talking about the cross of a steeple of a church or a symbol. It's not even talking about a cross as a piece of jewelry. And I'm not preaching it. That's not a problem. But that's not the cross he's talking about taking up. When we take up the cross, when we take up a cross for Christ, it's an uncomfortable cross. And that's why it's difficult for you and I in our day and our age to understand taking up a cross, because we don't do things that are not comfortable. Many Christians go to church on Sunday if it's comfortable. Many churches, many people will go on visitation if it's comfortable. Many people will read their Bible during the week if it just works out. And we want God to fit into our schedule. And God forbid that we should do anything outside of our box, outside of our schedule. And if we're going to take up a cross is not a thing of comfort. A cross is something that bears a burden. And the crosses that we're talking about, there was a church in this area, and I'm not preaching against them either. You got to be so careful in what you say. But they had a sign outside that said, take up thy cross. And in the yard, they had a bunch of little white crosses that you could stop and pull in the driveway. Take one of those crosses, take it home, put it in your yard. That's wonderful. That's nice. That's good. That's cute. That's fine. Everything's okay. But that's not taking up the cross of Christ. That's not what this is talking about. Going out in the yard and sticking something in the yard as a sign and saying, now I'm bearing the cross of Christ. No, that's not bearing a cross. Can I say this? I've heard folks say this. I mean, they're just blessed. They say, oh, well, it's just my cross to bury. Not bury. It's just my cross to carry. And usually what they're talking about is not a cross. A year and a half ago, due to my lack of coordination, I messed up my knee and had surgery on it and spent 5 days in the hospital and 3 months in the nursing home and 2 more months in a wheelchair and then time on a walker, and all that was just a precursor for this one. And I'm getting a little accident prone. I told somebody when I was 60, I blew out my knee. 61, I've broken my wrist. I don't want to turn 62. I don't want to know what's in the future. But these things happen, and you know, sometimes we get this thing, well, that's just my cross to carry. No, that's not a cross. The Apostle Paul had all kinds of physical ailments and opposition, and yet he didn't say, I pray that God would remove this, and the Lord said, well, that's your cross to bear. He said, no, that's your thorn in the flesh. With all due respect and with all sympathy for somebody that hears those words, and some of you have had this, you've got cancer. That's a terrible thing, and I'm not being unsympathetic, but like I say this, that's not a cross to carry. Our physical, those things happen to unsaved people. These things happen to unsaved people. This is not how we carry the cross. This is not our cross to carry. When Jesus said in verse number 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take... You understand he's making a purposeful decision. He's denying himself and taking up a cross. It's not something that happens by accident. It's not a natural thing of life. It's a conscious decision to put himself second and put the cross of Christ, or the cross that he's called to carry, first. What is your cross this morning? What cross are you carrying? And I dare say, folks, for most of us, we're not carrying any cross. We're living a comfortable Christian life. And that's not necessarily wrong, but it's not denying ourselves, taking up the cross, and following him. I want to challenge us this morning not to desire disaster, not to desire opposition and persecution, but to say, Lord, what cross would you have me to carry? Lord, where do you want me to step out of my comfort zone? Where do you want me to stand out of my luxury and my ease? And where do you want me to stand out for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we all want to withdraw inside that box that we're comfortable in. That's our natural inclination. And in that box, we're not carrying any cross. So let's look at this cross this morning that the followers of Christ are called to bear. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There is a cross to bear. For every man, he said in verse 23, if any man, for every single individual, there is a cross to bear. Now the cross you bear might not necessarily be the same as the cross someone else is bear, but there's a cross for you. I like this song. I marked it in our song book, and we'll probably sing it for invitation this morning. But the name of the song is Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone. And it says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The songwriter understood what Jesus is saying in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There's a cross for every single one of us. Let him take up his cross. Take it up. That's a voluntary action. Take up, not the Lord putting something on you, but you submitting and willingly agreeing to taking up a cross. He said, let him take up his cross. It's personal. Let him take up his cross. Now we could say her. It's intended in there. For every individual believer, there's a cross for you to take up. It's not a little white one to plant in your yard. It's not a piece of jewelry to wear around the neck. Again, nothing wrong with those things. But this cross they're talking about there is a cross that's different from a cross that's going to cost something. You have to deny yourself to take up that cross. What cross are we denying ourselves to bear in the life right now? There's a cross to bear. It says if he will take up that cross daily. Daily. There's something about the spiritual life that the Lord wants us to take up this cross every single day and bear it for him. We're reminded of Jesus on the road to Calvary as his body had been whipped and broken and beaten, and they put the cross on his shoulder demanding that he carry it up to Calvary's hill. And because of his weakness, because of the brokenness of his body, they compelled one Simon of Cyrene to come and carry the cross for him. And what a picture it is of carrying that cross. Simon the Cyrene being compelled, taken from the street side, Jesus giving relief as it were at that point, and him being compelled to bear that cross and carry it up to the mountainside. And Jesus uses that example for you and I to say that like Simon the Cyrene, you and I ought to be willing each and every day to go under the weight of that cross and bear it for the Lord Jesus Christ. What cross are we bearing? What cross are we carrying? What cross are we taking up daily? There is a cross to bear. It says in verse number 23, and he said unto them all. As I look around the auditorium this morning, every face I see, God has a cross for you to bear. Do you know what that cross is? Are you bearing that cross? You know what? Can I say this? Can we be honest? That's a foreign thought to us. Because we're not thinking about a cross we can bear. We're not asking the Lord for a cross to bear. We don't want a cross to bear. We're comfortable in the Christian life that we're living. But Jesus said, if any man follow me, let him take up his cross. So I guess what that brings it down to, folks, and let's be honest, and I told you, this is rough this morning, and I'm preaching to me as well as I'm preaching to you. We are not following Jesus Christ because we're not bearing a cross. We're glad to speak his name. We're happy and excited to speak his name. But where is the cross bearing today? There is a cross to bear. If any man take up his cross, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He said that to them all, any man. There are some crosses that we need to bear. Can I give you some crosses this morning to help us with our understanding? And again, understanding these crosses are not the natural actions of life. When things happen, when financial problems happen, that's not your cross to bear. When physical tragedies happen, that's not what it's talking about, your cross. You are volunteering, verse 23, you're volunteering to take a cross for Christ and bear it in the course of the world that we're living. First of all, there is a cross of salvation. A cross of salvation. Now, you're not on that cross because you can't save yourself. Jesus Christ bore the ultimate cross of salvation, but now that you're saved, you're called upon to volunteer to carry that cross around with you. Everywhere you go, like Simon the Cyrene, you should have a spiritual cross over your shoulder that you're bearing in the workplace, in the shopping center, in the restaurant, in the schoolhouse, wherever it is we go, there ought to be a cross that we're bearing, and it is the cross of salvation. Now again, it's not a symbol, it's not an emblem, it's not a Christian t-shirt or something that's, but it's simply saying, I am willing to stand out for the cause of Christ. You understand that when we leave the walls and the doors of this room, we are going into a completely unsaved world. When we come in here, we are 99% Christian. Now, I'm leaving that one little loophole because there's always a possibility that somebody comes to church week after week after week but has never committed themselves to Jesus Christ. There's always that possibility. So we are in a 99% at least environment, Christian environment. But when we go out that door, and if you go to Bob Evans or if you go somewhere to eat or if you go to somewhere to shop or if you go somewhere to get gas, you have now switched from a 99% Christian environment to a 99% basically worldly environment. And you are the only thing that's the common denominator in both places, but the group in both places is different, and you're called upon to bear the cross of salvation. What does that mean? That you are gladly aligned with Jesus Christ. That you have no shame in His cross. That in the world that you go out, there's no hesitation. When they talk about the Indians, you can talk about the Lord. When they talk about the weather, you can talk about Jesus Christ. When they talk about the workplace, you can talk about the Bible. Carrying the cross of salvation. You know what that does? That makes you stand out in a group. That can make you uncomfortable. Because when everybody else is talking about this or that, and you don't seem to participate, and then when your time gets to chip in, and you turn it spiritual, you're going to turn people away from you. You're going to turn people against you. And you know what we don't do? We don't do that because we don't want to bear the cross. We keep ourselves silent. We let others do the talking, and we just sit there and listen. If it's vile, if it's vulgar, we'll turn and walk away, but as long as it's not that, we'll sit there, but never interject anything. Never carry the cross of Christ. You know, carrying the cross of Christ means we're going to stand out. When Simon the Cyrene was compelled to come into the middle of that roadway and carry that cross, everybody saw it, everybody recognized it, everybody knew what he was doing. He was carrying that cross. When you and I stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever it is that we're at, we are called upon to carry that cross daily. Every single day, to stand out for Jesus Christ. That's the cross of salvation. There's also a cross of service. Beyond just being saved, we need to serve the Lord. Nobody was called and saved to do nothing. Everybody's been called to serve the Lord. Now, not all in the same position. Not all in the same occupation. Some are called to be pastors. Some are called to be missionaries. Some are called to be Sunday school teachers, bus workers, cleaners of the church. Brother Lewis just thanked the ladies that work downstairs and feeding the kids. All these things are doing service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to willingly submit ourselves to some place of service in bearing the cross for Christ. To get outside of our box, outside of our comfort zone at doing something for the Lord. Not saying, Lord, I'll serve you as long as it's inside this box. I'll do what you want me to do as long as you do it on my terms and my grounds. But putting ourselves out there for the Lord Jesus Christ. What's our cross? What's your cross this morning? What is your cross of service? There's a cross of being a saint. You know, the Bible says that when you got saved, now understand, can I tell you this? If you're saved right now, you're a saint. Now that might make you a little nervous, and personally it makes me a little nervous if somebody were to call me a saint. Because I know me. And I know I'm no saint. As far as my conduct, as far as my thought life, as far as my actions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I wouldn't want somebody to call me a saint. I sure wouldn't want anybody praying to me. But the Bible tells us, you and I that are saved, with the day we got saved, we went from sinner to saint. The barometer changed. We went from sinner to saint. Now we're still sinners, but we're saved sinners. And now there's a difference in us. And now we can carry a cross that lets the world out there see that there's a difference in us. I was having a conversation with Caitlin. I hate to point her out and embarrass her, but she was telling me, she spent the night with us last night, and we were talking last night. She came in, I was studying, getting ready for today, and we just had a short conversation. She told me that she wants to grow up to be a pastor's wife or a missionary wife, and that blessed my heart. When's the last time you heard that? A young person say, I want to grow up to be a pastor. I want to grow up to be a missionary. I want to grow up to be a pastor's wife or a missionary's wife. And that just blessed my heart that she felt that way. We all need to be looking for a place where we can serve. We all need to know that we can do that because we're saints of God. And she said, I want to do that because I haven't, and this is her words, I haven't been raised in a Christian home, and I want to grow up and have a Christian home when I get married. You and I need to pray for that young lady, that she'll have the heart, that she'll have the desire of her heart. And I told her, I said, well, I understand what you're saying because I wasn't raised in a Christian home either. And she looked at me and said, no. I said, yes, I got saved when I was 18 years old, 5 years older than she is. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And she said, no. She couldn't comprehend that the pastor wasn't raised in a Christian home. Most of us have had a change in life. Most of us had had a point where the barometer went from sinner to saint. And boy, what a difference. And I mentioned it last week. My birthday was June 1st. On June 1st, it was 43 years since I trusted Christ as my Savior. And what a difference He's made in my life. I don't know where I'd be at 61 years old had He not saved me at 18. But I know I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I wouldn't have the family I've got right now. And I wouldn't have the lifestyle I've got right now had the Lord not come in. We are saints now. We need to carry that cross. And be happy to carry that cross in this world that's out there. Because what a mess this world's in. What a mess families are in and homes are in. What a mess our state is in and our country is in. And you and I have the opportunity to carry a cross. Now, listen, when we carry that cross of sainthood around when we go, folks are going to think, oh, you just think you're better than everybody else. You holier than thou, nose up in the air. No, it's not that. We realize we're just as wicked as everybody else. But we trusted the Lord as our Savior so we could be redeemed. And now we're a saint of God. And now we're called to carry that cross, not to be like the rest of the world. And again, that's where the hard thing comes in. Because many of us go out into the world, we go into the workplace, we go into wherever we're at, and we're surrounded by 90% unsaved people, unregenerate people. And even those, many of those that claim the name of Christ would never step out by faith and let it be known among the people around them. And so we are all by ourselves on an island, as it were, trying to stand for Jesus Christ and carry the cross and let people know that we are saints of God. Are you carrying that cross? You're called to carry it daily. Daily, every day, letting folks know, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I don't do those things. I don't go those places. Not that I think that I'm better than anybody else, but I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to get involved in this. I'm not going to do that. I know what it's like to be in the workplace and have to be different from everybody else. And it is a cross that you're called upon to bear every single day. There's always the temptation to lower the cross. And say, well, it's not so bad if I participate in that, or I don't want them to think I'm an oddball about that thing or the other thing. No, we're called to carry a cross. And it's going to be an uncomfortable cross. How are we doing at carrying it? There's that cross of sainthood. There's a cross of sacrifice. A cross of sacrifice. Again, this is uncomfortable for us. We don't sacrifice. We don't go out of our way. The two things that trouble most Americans today, number one is possessions. That's the goal in life, to have everything you can get. Look at our American society. Look at the poorest among us and the things that they have, technology-wise. All right? Any other area. There are folks, and you understand how this goes, and I'm not preaching against this per se right now, but those folks that are on government programs have more than many people that aren't on government programs. And everything is provided and everything is given, and the goal is possession. The goal is to have everything you can have, get everything you can get, and have the best of everything that's available. There was a rich man that came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, here's what you got to do. You got to keep the commandments. He said, no problem. I've kept all the commandments from my youth up. He was sincere. He felt like he had kept the commandments. Jesus said, all right, if you've kept all the commandments, here's what I want you to do. Go sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. Now, he said he'd kept all the commandments from his youth up. You know what that one commandment is? Thou shalt not covet. But Jesus said, go sell everything you've got. Uh-oh. No, you crossed the line there, Lord. You're touching my possessions. You're touching my... That's what the world has a problem with, and that's what many Christians have problems with today. Everything's about possess. We've got to get more jobs, better paying jobs, higher paying jobs, so we can have more things. That's what it's all about. More things, more possessions, more goods. It's not, I want a better paying job so I can give more to the church. Oh, where's those noble people who thought, I want a better paying job so I can give more to missions. No, I want a better job, a better paying job. I want more money so I can have more things. That's the problem of our current generation. And that's not just the unsaved world, that's the believers. Our possessions are keeping us from carrying a cross for Christ. What did Jesus say to that young man? Go sell everything you've got and then come and follow me. And he went away sad because he had much possessions. The object of modern day education is to get you the best and highest paying job so you can have the most things. What else do you do with money? What else do you do with money but buy things? And that's the emphasis of our day. That's not the cross we're called to bear. Now, I'm not saying we're called to poverty. But I'm saying this, there's a cross to carry, and that cross is not financial wealth. That's not prosperity. That's not possessions. That's not things. We could do a lot more if our home and family situations were more geared to serving God than it were accumulating bigger and better things. There's a cross of sacrifice. When the disciples were called, Jesus walked by and they were out mending their nets fishing. And Jesus said, come and follow me. And they left their nets and they followed him. They made him the number one priority. Everything else fell into a place after him. But he became number one. Folks, let's be honest. For most of us, he's not number one. We love him like we love our spouse, like we love our children, but he's not number one. He's in the mix. He's in the categories. But we're not taking up our cross daily and denying ourselves and following him. This New Testament Christianity, can I say this, and it breaks my heart to say it, seems to have been lost. This mentality of these early disciples seems to, after the years and after the ages and after all the things that's happened, that mentality, we're so far removed that we don't know what it's like to take up that cross because we're pursuing other things. We're mending the nets. We're working our daily schedules as fishermen. But we're not forsaking anything to follow him. And that leads me to the next cross, and that's the cross of suffering. There is a cross of suffering. The Bible says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him rejoice. Now that suffering, again, I understand cancer is a deadly thing. Any diseases, any suffering, anything that goes on physically. But again, those are the things that happen to the just and the unjust. What we're talking about, the suffering that occurs for the cause of Christ. I guess, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is our prime example, is he not? He told us in 2 Corinthians, in shipwrecks often, in perils by my countrymen, in perils by the sea. When you read that story of the things that the Apostle Paul had suffered for the cause of Christ, that's not a man that's being careful and taking care of himself. That's a man that's putting himself out there and on the line for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a mentality that in our country is foreign. Now, I believe there's people in other countries around the world that are still in line with that kind of thought. But here where we're at in the United States of America, we think that suffering for Christ means missing a meal. We think suffering for Christ means when gas hits $3 a gallon. And this suffering of taking up the cross is completely different. It's bearing a reproach for the cause of Christ. The psalmist said this, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That's the kind of suffering the Bible's talking about. When those that you love and those that you're familiar with turn against you for the cause of Christ, that's bearing a cross. But you know what we do? We sacrifice our faith for family. You know, the world out there, they don't think anything. Sunday's not a holy day. Wednesday evenings are definitely just part of the work week. And so the world schedules things on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings just like they would any other day of the week. And it puts you and I in a position where we either have to compromise our faith for family or forsake family for faith. We've either got to say, hey, this is Sunday and I'm going to church. I know you've got this thing planned and I know it's going on and I know it's a big deal and I really would love to be there, but Sunday morning is my faith day. That's the day that I go to church. And for me to forsake that for family would mean that I'm putting something before what should be important. That I'm putting family before faith, and family will notice that. Okay, yeah, he's a dedicated Christian, but if we plan something on Sunday, he'll skip church for that. We're not bearing the cross. We're compromising. We're setting it down. We're lowering it. We're laying it aside so that we can fit in with the family and the society and the people around us. And we understand the whole time Lord's saying, I bore my cross. I bore it all the way. I took it up Calvary's hill. I got nailed to it. And I was there till I died. Why can't you carry your cross for me? What's too difficult and too hard for you? Why can't you carry this cross of salvation? This cross of service? This cross of sainthood? This cross of sacrifice? This cross of suffering? There's a calling to bear the cross. Now let me say this. I said, first of all, there's a cross to bear. Number two, there's a calling to bear that cross, and that's these crosses that we've borne. And then number three, there's a condition to bearing the cross. Notice again verse 23. If any man will come after me, notice these words, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. You know why, and we've said this all throughout the message already, you know why we have a hard time carrying the cross of Christ? Because we have a hard time denying ourselves. Let's be honest, folks, it's all about us. When we get up on Sunday morning, we get ourselves ready, we get ourselves fed, we get ourselves accommodated, we get ourselves ready to get out to go to the door and get to church. The focus is on us. When we come to church, we sit in the pew and we listen and we sing the songs and we wait for the preacher to preach, and it's all about us. And the Bible says if we're going to bury that cross, we've got to deny ourselves. You know why Paul was the prime example of carrying a cross? Because he's the prime example of denying himself. Outside, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the best example of denying himself. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. Can I be honest? I don't like that statement. There are times where I am comfortable sitting in my chair at home, and I get a phone call. And I say, all right, this phone call is something that demands immediate attention. But I'm comfortable right now sitting in my chair. I can do this in a couple hours. I can do this later today. I can do this tomorrow. And as I sit there, the Spirit of God just begins to grind on me and saying, there's no reason you can't get up out of your easy chair right now and do what you know you need to do and deal with what you know you need to deal with and do it right now. But you know what I've got to do when I come to that? I've got to deny myself. And it's very easy to accomplish. Well, Lord, I've had a hard day. It's been a long day. Not right now. I'll do it in a little bit. Let me rest up. And the Lord just, it's miserable, isn't it, being under conviction? Isn't it miserable when the Lord's just working on your heart and putting the screw there and you're trying to argue away God and explain away things and He doesn't let up on you and you say, okay, Lord, I'll do it and I'll do it right now. That's denying ourselves and taking up the cross. Nobody sees that. Nobody gives you a pat on the back. Nobody gives you a reward down here for it. But that's taking up the cross and denying ourselves. That's what Paul was good at doing. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Remember what he said? Take up his cross daily and follow me. Paul said, I die daily. He made a point every day to put himself second to the will of God. Every day to put himself second to what God wanted him to do. He said, I die daily. Look at Galatians. I know we haven't turned anywhere. Look at Galatians chapter 2. And this is a verse that I know you're familiar with. Many of you can quote it. But look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Here's what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see the elements in there? He's taking up the cross. He's denying himself. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is putting the Lord first. He's saying, I'll do thy will, not my will. I'll follow what you have for me. There's a condition to bearing the cross, carrying the cross. Let a man deny himself. Let him deny himself and then take up the cross and follow me. And then let me say fourthly and lastly, there's a crown for bearing the cross. There's a reward for it. Not in this life. In this life, it's nothing. It's looked at but as nothing but negative. By the world around you that doesn't appreciate your Savior. By other folks that claim the name of Christ but would never go out on a limb for Him. When we bear that cross, there's a crown associated with it. That song, let me look at it again. One of the verses there, it says, the consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. He knew, the songwriter knew, that to bear the cross of Jesus was to receive a crown later. I go back to where we started. What cross are you bearing? What cross are you bearing? What cross are you carrying for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we just letting Christianity flow into our everyday life and our everyday walk? I've been saved for 43 years. I can live the Christian life. Now listen to me carefully and closely. I can live the Christian life without God. As far as the outward thing about getting up and going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, it's part of my routine. I've been doing it for 43 years now. Behaving like, watching my language and not using foul language, watching what I could continue to live this life without the Lord. But how vain and empty is that? I am to bear a cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm to carry one for Him. A cross of salvation, a cross of sacrifice, a cross of saint. Why? Because at the end of that carrying, there's a crown. How many crowns will you have? The crowns are dependent on the crosses that you bear. And if at the beginning when I said, what cross are you carrying? And you searched and said, I don't see one. There's no crown. There's no crown. But if you determine, Lord, I'm going to seek a cross to carry. I'm going to be a testimony. I'm going to carry that cross. I'm going to bear whatever you put upon me and live to honor and glory. When we desire to carry that cross, now we have a crown that one day we can cast back at His feet. There's a crown for carrying the cross. The Lord will make it worthwhile to carry your cross. What cross are you carrying? Luke chapter 9, one more time, verse number 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said this, and He said unto them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Christian, what cross are you carrying? What cross are you bearing? What cross do you take up daily? What crowns will you get because of the cross? This thing of the Christian life is not a game. It's not just a thing of being better than the rest of the world by going to church. We've got a cross to carry. You've got a cross to carry. Are you carrying that cross? I'd like your heads to be bowed as you remain seated this morning. I'm going to do things a little different as we come to the invitation this morning. Sonia and I are going to sing the two verses of that song that I've been reading from. And as your heads are bowed and as you think about the message of what the cross is that the Lord would have you to carry, would you consider that as we sing?